Welcome back to Shore Sports Talk, sponsored by Shoreline Wealth Management on 94.3 The Point. I am Vin Abinue. I'm joined by a couple fellas from the Jersey Shore Blue Claws, Joe Ritrudy, president and GM, and Greg Giamborisi, the broadcaster for the Blue Claws. And we're talking Jersey Shore Blue Claws, getting ready for the season that starts up in a couple weeks' time, starting with a little mini road trip in Brooklyn, and then it's back home to Lakewood and the Jersey Shore. So first, before we preview the season, Joe, Greg, welcome on in.
Vin, thanks. It's great to be here with you.
Thanks, Vin. Always good to see you.
So some coaching changes in the offseason. I know Greg Brudzinski's taken over as manager. Greg, some new coaches. What can you tell us about the coaching staff and some of the players?
Yeah, Greg Brudzinski is going to be the manager. Really cool story. So he's from Bishop Eustace outside of Philly. So not that far from here. He's from New Jersey. And he's one of four sons in his family, and all four named after members of the 1980 World Series champion Philadelphia Phillies. So his name is Greg. He's named after Greg Luzinski, the Bull. That's what they call Greg Luzinski. And they call this Greg Bull also because of that. So, yeah, he'll be here. And then the pitching coach, his name is Phil Condari, who is a local guy, a Jersey guy. He's from Cliffside Park. He went to Seton Hall. Coached at Seton Hall and Rutgers. He's also a licensed psychotherapist on the side. That's a side gig.
Well, there we go.
Most people's side gig is like, you know, like golf or something.
Some good communication in the dugout.
So he does that. This will be his first year in the Philly system. So looking forward to meeting him. Chris Adamson is back. He was our manager a couple of years ago. He was on the staff of Team Australia that had a great run in the recently concluded World Baseball Classic. The hitting coach, his name is Brock Stassi, who played for the Blue Claws in 2012. So he'll be the second former Blue Claws player to serve as a Blue Claws coach. So it'll be a fun staff, and looking forward to the season.
And, he is a font of information. Isn't he?
Yeah.
He really is impressive.
So I figured tee it up, like Greg dive in, what's going on with the dugout and the bullpen there.
I mean, I've talked to Tank, Chris Adamson. Like, he goes, so we have Tank and we have Bull.
I like the nickname.
I wish we could do a photo op of some guy. But, so I talked to him a few times during Australia's run, and he managed a team in Australia, the Adelaide Giants and the Australian Baseball League. They won the title. So I've been talking to him. I've talked to Luzinski a few times. And I haven't talked to Brock Stassi since he played his last game with the Blue Claws 10 years ago. So 11
time
years
for
ago.
A reunion.
So I'm looking forward to seeing him, yeah.
And we got a lot of great prospects. Certainly saw some last year and then some guys moving up in the organization. Some have gotten a look at Philly's spring training in March. Who are some of the bigger prospects? Who are some of the new guys maybe that are going to be playing for the Blue Claws this year?
So I think the biggest quote-unquote prospect name that we'll have here at the beginning of the year is an infielder named Hao Yu Lee.
Okay.
He was here at the end of last season for the last couple of weeks, and he's from Taiwan. He's 20 now, and big, stocky, strong. He's strong as an ox.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
he's
very good.
So,
definitely looking forward to seeing him again in a full season. He'll play second and short. As far as some of the other guys, we'll see. You know, they'll announce the roster over the next couple of weeks. A couple of guys that were here at the end of last year that'll probably be here, I would guess. An infielder named Kendall Simmons, who played pretty well, an outfielder named Marcus Lee Sang, who'll probably hit at the top of the order. He's a lefty with speed and a little pop. So I think those two on the pitching side, honestly, we'll see. There's just so many different options. I know one guy, a friend of mine in Florida, raves about a pitcher named Jaden Estanista, who's from Curacao, and he pitched for the Netherlands team in the World Baseball Classic and looked really good. He's 21, but he had been hurt, and then they had the COVID year where they didn't play, so he's still relatively inexperienced. He could be here at the beginning of the season, maybe in the middle of the year. The Phillies' first-round pick in last year's draft is an outfielder named Justin Crawford, who is the son of Carl Crawford, and he's a cousin of J.P. Crawford, who played for the Blue Claws in 2013 and 14 and is now the shortstop for the Seattle Mariners.
You know, family legacy there.
Yeah, so that'll be cool to have two Crawfords. I don't think we will have Justin at the beginning of the year, but I think at some point later in the year, yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. It's impressive that he does that without any notes.
Greg's the man.
Yes. A lot of information.
A lot of great prospects with the high, of course, Blue Claw's high affiliate of the Phillies, Joe. Great prospects to watch on the field and a lot of great entertainment and value across the ballpark. So people can come and watch a lot of great baseball throughout the course of the season and really have a fun afternoon or a fun evening. So what are some of the things you're looking forward to with the 23 season coming up?
I think first, with the season coming up real quick, we're excited to welcome everybody back. I think the thing that we're looking forward to most is just being able to open up the gates again and say hi to, thousands and thousands of friends that we haven't had a chance to see since the last game of the season. So that's the highlight of just being able to open up again and welcome everybody back, particularly after the last couple of seasons. And although last season felt like a normal season again for the most part, we're really excited to open the gates and welcome everybody back. So this year, in addition to all the great stuff that everybody's accustomed to with the Blue Claws, all the boardwalk games and mini golf and all the fun stuff, fireworks nights, there's some new promotions and that we're doing this year. We're adding a couple of, we're adding another Marvel night to the schedule.
Nice.
Which was two really huge nights for us last year. It was really exciting to do the Marvel nights. Last year was the first year that the minor league was rolling out the Marvel nights in the current construct.
Yeah, so the Major League Baseball came up with a great program with Marvel and, a real partnership with an global brand like that.
Right,
is pretty great for the minor league teams to be able to do. So we had Spider-Man here at one game, and we had Thor here at a different game, and we wore special jerseys and everything. It was cool.
Yeah.
So this year, and both were sellouts. They were two of our three, maybe four biggest crowds of the season last year. They were sellout crowds. And this year, we've added a third one. We're going to have Black Panther, one on May 19th. We're going to have Spider-Man on June 24th, and we're going to have Captain Marvel on August the – actually, this one I need notes. We're going to – on August the 5th, we'll have Captain Marvel here as well. But the cool part is that this year, as part of the second phase of this program, is Marvel designed alternate logos for every team in the program, of which there are, I believe, 95 across minor league baseball. So we have an alternate Blue Claws Marvelized logo from a Marvel designer and their team.
Awesome.
And
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a strong crab kind of like exploding out of the water, and you can see like the water tail that he's left in his wake as he jumps out. So, those hats are on, and merchandise with that logo on it are on our website right now, and we'll wear them at the game, and we'll have a special Marvel jersey that we'll wear in one of those three games as well. So we get to kind of take it to another level this season, and I think that's something that we're really excited about. And actually, when we put single game tickets on sale at the beginning of March, they were all in the top few games that we saw people interested in, and one of them's in May, but one of them's also in August, and we were still moving the needle there. This far out is really cool to see.
So we had such success with the two that we did last year, we decided to add a third one this year. There's still fireworks every Friday once we get into June.
Plus opening night, of course.
Yeah, plus opening night.
There we go.
And actually, opening night this year, it's on a Tuesday. Since everybody enjoys Thirsty Thursday so much, we decided, why don't we do a Thirsty Tuesday? Yeah, so we're opening up with a Thirsty Tuesday with beer specials around the ballpark. There's going to be a whole lot of new food and beverage around the ballpark, which is always fun and exciting.
Nice.
This is actually the second year that we're going to be rolling out the Blue Wave Bar, which is the bar up on
the suite level. There.
Yeah, that was
There's
fun.
A great Vin and Joe interview from
there
the bar on YouTube. You can find it from about this time last year.
Yeah. I watch it often. So this is the second year with the Blue Wave Bar. It was particularly great about that. It was so well received last year, and we figured that it would be. But it's always nice to walk in and see it crowded and see the bar, two people deep and all the tables packed. So that was a lot of fun, and it rolled out how we envisioned it. It looks like we wanted it to look. We wanted it to look like a cool little beach bar. If you remember the old bar that was upstairs, it was it looked more like a saloon than a bar that you might
find.
Howdy, partner. Yeah, so we redid that, did a new menu for up there, and It just has a whole different look and feel. So that was pretty cool.
They've been doing some work on our office, so I've been working out of the bar.
Oh.
Unfortunately, it's not stocked yet. For the last couple
weeks. They saw you coming.
Yeah, for the last
Greg's
few weeks.
Greg's getting worked on. So, okay, get you. Yeah.
So when fans come in or vendors come in or anybody comes into the office is upstairs. So they come in, and it's cool to see every time you know the elevator opens and somebody that maybe has been to the stadium but didn't come up to the bar at a game last year or whatever, say, oh, wow, this is nice. It happens every day. And for people that haven't necessarily been up there, I recommend it. It's much different than it used to be.
Mm.
And there's also, from at a game, you can watch the game from there. There's a sliding glass door,
yeah.
But also they have the game on the TV screen as well.
Oh, you
can watch it from there. But also there's food options up there that you can't get anywhere else in the stadium, some seafood stuff. It's really a great spot. They did a great job.
Yeah, it was really cool about it, too, is that you know the old model had the bar was only open to season ticket holders and suite holders.
Oh, right.
So it was a smaller audience that was up there.
Mm.
And when we did the renovation, we said, hey, why don't we just open up to everybody in the ballpark?
Sure.
You know, everybody come on up and check it out. And I think that was kind of opened up the floodgates for it. You know, and fans, you know, a lot of fans didn't even know it was there. You know, so it was kind of cool having them come up and experience it. But it has become kind of like one of the places to go hang out. And it's just got a great vibe to it. The music's good up there. It's just the vibe is completely different than it used to be.
Friendly atmosphere.
Yeah,
and everything.
Very friendly. Yep, and staff's great. So, you know, so that's have another year of that. You know, I have a couple of new partners who joined us this year.
Okay.
So that's going to be exciting. Folks will be seeing some new signage out there. You know, and some new promotions. So
there we go.
Yeah. So there's a lot of great stuff. We encourage everybody, if you have not been to a game, come on and check it out. It's like a 3-ring circus. So it's a hoot.
We have ring toss. It kind of literally is.
Got it all. Yeah, the boardwalk games, the
boardwalk
mini golf.
Games are 2018. The mini golf was 2018. The bar was 2022.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny when people come to the game, particularly people go to a lot of minor league baseball games around the country.
Mm.
You know, people come to us and you know, they say, God, you guys have so much stuff going on. You know, there's just so much going on. And we like it that way. You know, it's fun. It keeps everybody interested. You know, if you're a baseball fan, there's a lot of great baseball, as Greg, you know, talked about earlier. You know, if you're just a family looking for something fun to do, there's tons of that. You know, so, you know, when we think about, you know, how you know, we like to grow our fan base, you know, we tackle it from two fronts. You know, we tackle it certainly on the sports side, and then we tackle it on just the family entertainment side.
When we ask fans about the stadium and survey fans or just read comments and everything, the one thing that stands out more than anything else is that the stadium has a 360-degree concourse. And nowadays you see a lot of these stadiums that are built in, like, downtown areas, and they're kind of, like, jammed
kind of
in.
Yeah.
So you're somewhat limited. Or even some older stadiums, they just didn't do that. You would go – you as a fan could go foul pole to foul pole, but not across the back of the outfield. But when they built this stadium, 2001, and it's held up unbelievably well,
It's
they made sure that they put in a 360-degree concourse, and it's fantastic. And then when our ownership team came in, Shoretown Baseball, in 2017, they wanted to make sure that we did a better job of utilizing all the areas. So that's where the mini golf course came in. That's where the boardwalk stuff came in. So it was part utilized all the space to its best capability, but also it was to bring the best of the Jersey Shore to the stadium.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, the food and drink options now upstairs and everywhere else. You have mini golf, you have boardwalk, you know, family night out, relaxing time with your family, all that good stuff, or clients or colleagues or whatever.
And it activated the whole ballpark, which the older model kind of, you know, there wasn't a lot to do in the outfield if it wasn't a Thirsty Thursday. There really, you know, wasn't much going on out there. You know, but when we laid it out, we anchored the mini golf out by, right field side. We did out in center field, we did all the boardwalk games.
Mm.
And then as you make your way out to left field, we did the sandbar. Which has, you know, it's full service bar and music. And, you know, so we wanted to make sure that we created kind of the whole arc for people to walk around out there. But, you know, Greg, when you were describing the venue, my old ballpark when I ran the Staten Island Yankees from 2007 to 2011, it was very much the same way. Our outfield bordered the Hudson
Harbor.
Bay. Yeah, so you didn't have anywhere to go on the – and then on the inside, we had a major thoroughfare on the other side. So you kind of shoehorned in. And I had been back to the ballpark there. I went for my daughter's graduation in June. And I remember walking on a concourse with my wife and not really – I hadn't been back since, right? So, you know, you look at it, and now my point of reference is our place, right? So, you know, you're looking at this kind of – you know, this horseshoe kind of shaped, and everything felt a little bit tight. Concourse felt a little narrow, and I remember thinking, God, we should jam 6,000 people in here? What were we thinking? No wonder it felt great.
I went to a game in Brooklyn, and I was the view there is unbelievable. It's the ocean. It's right up against the border. Okay. But, yeah, you can't walk around. Yeah. And my favorite stadium in the Sally League that I've been to is Greenville. It's modeled after Floor Field. It is Floor Field. It's modeled after Fenway Park.
Okay.
With a green monster and everything.
Oh, right.
But again, you can't go past any foul pole. It's beautiful. Mm. They do an amazing job. But having that ability for a fan and really a family with kids and everything, they're running around.
Yeah.
To be able to walk all the way around and spend inning on the grass berm, an inning at the boardwalk, an inning playing mini golf, couple innings in the seats. It is really unparalleled.
Yeah, we're blessed with a great venue. It really is.
And it's held up. It's held up.
I mean, right.
It's 22. This will be the 22nd season. We skipped 2020, unfortunately. But, it opened in 2001. And, there are ballparks that open now. And, they're new. But this is as good as anything out there.
And any of the updates you guys have made to the ballpark over the years has stood the test of time as well. It's been done really well, and people continue to come out and check out all the different events, the different foods, the different giveaway nights or fireworks nights or the different alternate jerseys, which are pretty awesome. So, I mean, there's a lot that people can go and enjoy and watch from baseball to, hanging out.
Yeah, and fireworks nights are always, a lot of fun, too. And, I would do them every night if I could. I would do them every single night.
Why not?
Yeah, and it's funny. One of our, when we first started loading up the schedule with fireworks nights, I remember one of our front office folks was asking a question like, are you doing these how many nights? Like, but it's the same show, right? But for us, we've seen it. For fans, a lot of fans, it's their first night, So, and I keep saying, well, there's a reason why Disney does it every single night
of
the year.
People love to see fireworks.
And it really does to see fans at the end of the night still hanging around to well after the end of the game and watching the look on kids' faces when that fireworks show is going off is amazing.
Well, I'll do one better. We do kids run the bases every night.
Yeah, I love that tradition.
Again, I've been there forever. Joe's been there, not as forever, but a few years now. And
getting there.
Yeah, really. I think I had more hair when I started, that's for sure.
I know I did. So you see every night these kids get to go on the field and not just sit in the stands. The fireworks are great, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Not just sit on the stands and watch the fireworks. Go on the field and run the bases. And it's an experience that you can't beat for a young kid, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe plays Little League, and now he's watched the game, he's got an autograph from a player, and now he gets to go run around on that field. And that's why we do it every day, because you never know. I think there was a Joe DiMaggio quote. He said, you give your best every day because you never know
who's watching you
for the first time,
right.
Or who's watching a game for the first time.
Absolutely.
And that's why you do that every day. And, the other one that we do this year, we're doing it on June 11th, is the post-game father-child family catch on the field.
That's a great tradition.
So we've done it on Father's Day. Unfortunately, we're on the road this year on Father's Day, so we're just going to do it a week earlier. And it's amazing. Last year the line wrapped around to get on the field. It went from the stands down the first base side, right beyond the dugout. It wrapped around past center, down the right field foul line, past the boardwalk games in center, out past the batter's eye in dead center, the left center field. We call it the Chick-fil-A fan zone, but toward out there. So, just an enormous line. People out there for 45 minutes, and again, that's something that you're not getting anywhere else. You're going to get it here. You're going to get it on that day, and not only that, it's an experience that. It is unparalleled for a family. It's really exciting for the kid, and obviously the baseball part kind of ties in because you know, most kids learn to play catch with their dad or whatever in the backyard when they're 4 or 5 years old or whatever. So they get to do it on the field, which is really cool.
I think that's one of the great things about minor league baseball is that we, you know, that magic. And because we're an intimate venue and we're a small venue, you know, we can do a lot of that stuff and, you know, give, you know, kids an opportunity to go down on a field. You know, and Greg, you're right. I mean, this is, you know, this is somebody's first game, and to be able to actually go down on field, particularly after watching a baseball game where they're just, you know, amazed at, you know, they're watching, you know, kind of future Phillies down on the field, and then they get to go stand on that field as well and go look into the dugout and stuff. I mean, you know, it's kind of amazing, and we never lose sight of the opportunity that that we get to provide for fans and for kids. You know, and, you know, again, particularly, you know, running the bases is one of those moments. And I remember, I don't know if you remember last year where, it was the end of kids run the bases. Everybody had cleared off the field. And then I was up on the concourse and I saw a mom with their kid who missed kids run the bases and they were, bawling.
Oh, sure.
And they thought it was over. The gates had closed. And I said, you know, can I help you? And they said, yeah, he missed kids run the bases and he was looking so far. I said, come on, let's go down and we'll do it.
Oh, wow.
Right. So I went down on the field and our MC was still down there and a couple of the folks from the promo team, you know, we just announced it to, you know, welcome to Kid Runs the Bases. And and they took their lap and loved it. And the mom was just so thankful.
That's great.
So, you know, and that's the stuff that you know, those are those special moments that we get to do that, you know, it really makes all the hard work of putting up a season. It makes it really all worthwhile.
What are some things as we start wrapping up our conversation here this morning, each of you, let you answer some things you're looking forward to with the upcoming season, either on the field or different events occurring over the course of the Blue Cloth season.
We had a beer that debuted last year.
Oh, that's right.
Called Real Claw, and it was our number two selling beer in the stadium. Behind the beer that we sell for $2 on Thursdays. Yeah. So that was pretty good. So we did that in conjunction with Heavy Real Brewing in Seaside. And this year we have the Heavy Real Brewing Tap House at Shoretown.
Ah.
Mouthful, but that's what it's called. And it's going to be right in the concourse there behind Section 109. And they'll have 6 or 8 different Heavy Real beers, including Real Claw, there at every game. So
nice.
That's really good. You know, we do the summer concert series, which has always been really popular. So we'll have the Snakes there for Irish Heritage Night on June 10th. We'll have a Springsteen tribute band called Asbury Fever on July 8th, and then Grateful Dead Night on August the 19th with Splintered Sunlight. So I love those band nights because you get people that don't ordinarily come to a game, but that's okay, and you get just amazing energy in the stadium from the band and down in the sandbar. So looking forward to that. And then the other thing I'll add is that we're doing Fiesta Fridays in the sandbar. This is new at Friday games beginning in May.
Okay,
May 19th will be the first one. So the sandbar will be decked out a little bit differently. We'll have tacos, nachos, margaritas, and some other stuff down there, and just to try to create a good atmosphere on Fridays.
More food to check out
in the sandbar. Yeah, and then starting in June, of course, they have the fireworks every Friday too. So
yeah, and you just go. You know, I really am proud of the partnership with Heavy Real in coming up with the Real Claw beer. You know, it's something that we had in the works for a while, and we were looking to find a really good partner to do it. And you know, we had a real good time doing the tasting and trying to come up with the right beer for it, you know, and they nailed it. And we were so pleased not only to see it being so successful in the ballpark, but, man, what a blast it is to be able to go out to a place and actually see it on the shelves.
Yeah,
that is really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. And, so
for sure,
you know, it's a great product. You know, I recommend, you know, if you stop in your local bar, ask them to carry it. It actually really is a good IPA. And I'm not a huge fan of IPAs, and it's a really good one. I think, you know, launching that, you know, doing the Blue Wave Bar this year is two things that you know, I'm looking forward to. Certainly, all the promotions that we're doing, and you know, just again to be able to open up the doors and welcome everybody. It's like, you know, we throw a party every night for like 6,000-7,000 people, and our job is to make sure that everybody's having a good time, eating and drinking and laughing, and at the end of the night, feels like they were at home and want to come back.
Absolutely. Love it. You guys always put on you know, great entertainment, too. I love watching the games, and then there's so many different events or giveaways and different themes throughout the course of the season. So there's so much for people of all ages to enjoy about going to a Jersey Shore Blue Claws game, and appreciate both of you coming in to give us a little preview of what's ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Vin. Yeah, opening night is April 11th, so tickets, get them at blueclaws.com. Actually, if you want, we're going to host an exhibition game with AA, the Reading Fightin' Phils, or the Phillies AA affiliate.
There you go.
On April 4th, and those tickets are $5, and anybody who buys one for that will get a complimentary ticket to opening night on April 11th. So
nice.
There's the move. Get that ticket for opening night by getting the ticket for the exhibition game. And that'll be a cool experience because people will get to see players that played for the Blue Claws last year in most cases. And now they'll play against them, and you get to see a double-A team. You know, so we went from low-A to high-A a couple of years ago, and now you're going to bring the double-A team in for one day. With a lot of former Blue Claws, future Phillies in there. So that'll be a unique experience. April 4th at 5 o'clock for the exhibition game.
I think it sounds like a lot of fun.
That's going to be a hoot.
Bragging rights on the line there.
Yeah, definitely.
Greg, Joe, thanks for coming in and
thanks,
talking Finn. About the Blue Claws.
Thanks for having us. I appreciate it.
That is Jersey Shore Blue Claws President and GM Joe Ricciuti and Blue Claws broadcaster Greg Giamborisi. Go check out the Jersey Shore Blue Claws this season at Shoretown Ballpark in Lakewood. And go to BlueClaws.com for more information and enjoy a Blue Claws game or a bunch of them this summer. Right at Shoretown Ballpark. More Shore Sports Talk, sponsored by Shoreline Wealth Management on 94.3 The Point, right after this.